Well, today is Father's Day, and I do have a special message, first and foremost, for all the fathers, and certainly for the men. It's going to be a little bit for everybody, but it is something special for all the guys today. But first, let me begin by asking you this. How many of you have seen any of the big superhero movies that have come out this summer in the last few weeks? Anybody? I haven't made it to any of them, but have any of you guys maybe seen Captain America Civil War? Any Captain America fans in the house? Okay, I see a few hands. We got a couple pictures there. Anybody see X-Men Apocalypse? Any X-Men people in the house? Where are the X-Men fans? All right, some X-Men fans. And then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is out. Another Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie. Love me some Ninja Turtles. I grew up on Ninja Turtles, so that's like a blast from the past. That was like my era. Although I think the Ninja Turtles did steroids or something because they're like all jacked and like huge now. They never looked like that when I was a kid. But there's some really big superhero movies out this summer. And I think our culture is just like obsessed with superheroes. It seems like there's always like a new superhero movie coming out. And I don't know, maybe it's because the world is falling apart and there's just this like need for somebody just to rescue things. But you know, in my house, we have three boys. Many of you know that. We have three boys. And so they're into superheroes, of course. We have action figures around the house. We have Batman and Iron Man and Superman. And of course, the boys watch superhero cartoons. And I think kids are just fascinated with superheroes because like this idea of having superpowers is just an amazing thought, isn't it? I think the truth is, it's still an amazing thought even for adults. Like, wouldn't it be awesome to have some of the powers that superheroes have? Like, wouldn't it be great to be able to fly? How many would you like to be able to fly? You know, like, you just get up one day and you're just so sick of your commute to work. You're just tired of traffic. You know, I don't like dealing with the train or with traffic today. I'm just going to strap on my cape and just fly to work. And you're just flying, you're waving at everybody on the 95 and on the Deegan who's stuck in traffic. You're just cruising along. Wouldn't that be awesome? Or like Spider-Man, like his ability to like just shoot webs at people. You know, like that cranky person at work that just drives you crazy. You're like, talk to the hand, psh, just shoot a web at them, right? Or like your kids aren't listening, you're trying to get their attention. I just wrap them up. I would just spray them in webs, just wrap them up. It'd be awesome. Or speaking of X-Men, what about Wolverine? You seen this dude? He's got like three knives that come out of his hand. Now, that would come in handy, right? Like you're out camping, you know, you're out in the wilderness in the middle of nowhere, and you forgot to bring a knife. You're just like, psh, knives just shoot up out of your hand. You forgot a can opener. Just knives come out. Somebody cuts you off in traffic. You pull up next to them, you roll down your window, you just give them the hand, just knives come out. Don't mess with me. I'm telling you, man, superpowers would be amazing to have. They really would. But you know who the real superheroes are in life? The real everyday superheroes? The dads. Come on, dads. Holla at me. The dads are the real superheroes. Because last time I checked, when my kids had diarrhea and were sick and had dirty diapers, Batman was nowhere to be found. Nah, Batman wasn't nowhere. And Superman has never showed up and comforted my kids when they had a nightmare in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, crying, hysterical, going crazy, and needed somebody to comfort them. Where was Superman at? No, dad had to take care of that. And where was Iron Man at when my kid needed to learn how to throw a football or swing a baseball bat or learn how to do the running man? Somebody's got to teach these kids some dance moves. Iron Man wasn't nowhere around. It's the dads who are the superheroes. It's the men in our lives who are the superheroes. And sometimes they are the unsung heroes. So we're singing your praises today, guys. We're with you. And today I want to talk to you about an unsung hero in the Bible, a hero who kind of flies under the radar, and that is Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. Now, we kind of have a cheesy picture of Joseph up there. That's all I could find was these kind of funny pictures of Jesus, of Joseph just like glowing with a halo. And so there he is, Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. Now, you know, when it comes to Jesus's parents, obviously Mary just owns the spotlight. I mean, she really gets all of the attention and all of the credit. I mean, hey, a virgin giving birth to the Son of God, kind of hard to top that one. Mary's kind of really up there. And man, if you come from a Catholic background, like Mary's really up there, right? And Joseph is kind of in the shadows at best. Now listen, Mary certainly deserves our admiration. I mean, what a woman of God. What a woman of faith, a vessel who was used to give birth to the Messiah, to the Son of God. But what about Joseph? What about Joseph and his influence on Jesus? I think it's an untold story sometimes. We just don't stop to think about it. He's kind of an unsung hero. He's one of the most overlooked men in the Bible. He wasn't a great prophet or a king or a priest or a warrior. He was just an average dude. He was a carpenter, just a good, solid guy, but he was just the kind of guy that God could entrust to raise the Son of God. How many of you know Joseph had a really big assignment? We focus on Mary so much, but Joseph had a big assignment that God entrusted him with to raise his son Jesus. And so today, I want us to look at the characteristics of a godly father, a godly man from the life of Joseph. We gave you note sheets when you came in, so you might want to take those out because we're going to have some points and some scriptures we're going to look at. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 1 in just a moment if you want to open up your Bible or your smartphone or your tablet or whatever. And so this message is first and foremost for the fathers and for the men, but this is a message for everybody. This is a message for all parents. If you're a woman, if you're a mother, you can relate to this, hopefully. If you are a young single man, hopefully you're aspiring to be a man of God, so you can learn some things. If you are a young single lady who's looking for a good Christian man, do we have any young single ladies who are available and you're looking for a good Christian man? Right, holla at me, put your hands up. All right, guys, look around. We're going to have a sign-up table outside in the foyer. I'm going to help introduce you. I expect a commission, though, if you meet the right guy, okay? We're going to do some matchmaking. So, hey, church is a really good place to find somebody. So, listen, this message is for everybody because it's ultimately about character. And then it's about character. How many of you want to have the character of God? You want to develop the character of God in your life. That's what this message is about today. So we're going to look at some of the characteristics of a godly father, a godly man from the life of Joseph. And we're looking at Matthew chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 18 through 25. Now, this is a portion of Scripture that we most often look at Christmas time. We usually associate this with the birth narrative of Jesus, the Christmas story. And sometimes we read through this so quickly because we're used to reading it around Christmas time that we don't stop to really examine the life of this extraordinary, amazing man, this superhero in the faith named Joseph. And so we're going to look at his life today. We're going to just kind of pause and take our time and examine his life today and learn some things and just really learn some principles and some characteristics of what it is to be a godly father, a godly man. So here's the first one. A godly man pursues righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. That's our first characteristic. A godly man, and this could be anybody, a godly woman, godly man pursues righteousness. Look at verses 18 through 19, we're in Matthew chapter 1, I'm reading from the NIV. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, your version might say he was righteous or just, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So Joseph and Mary were betrothed. Verse 19 says, verse 18, it says that they were betrothed. They were pledged to be married to each other. Now, this was a very important thing in Jesus' time and in the Jewish culture. This engagement was much more binding than a present-day modern engagement. They hadn't consummated their marriage yet sexually. That would have never been accepted in their culture. But to break this kind of engagement, you actually had to have a divorce. It was legally binding, okay? And so this is a pretty serious situation. And then Mary comes to Joseph, and she has this news. It's found that she's pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Now, can you imagine how that conversation played out? Wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall, you know? When Mary comes to Joseph, here's Joseph. He's this young, excited guy. He's in love with Mary. He can't wait to get married. He's a carpenter. He's been fixing up the house. He built a nice little white picket fence. He's been saving up some money so he can afford a bride, and he's excited. And Mary comes to him and says, Joseph, I've got some really exciting news for you, but you need to sit down. He's like, okay. She's like, no, really, this is like big time news. He's like, okay, did you finally pick out dresses for the bridesmaids? Like, what is it, right? And she's like, well, are you ready for this? Take a deep breath. She's like, I'm pregnant. Wow. And Joseph's like, okay, wow, I wasn't expecting that. How did this happen? Well, I know how it happened, but like, who's the father? Like, what happened here? And she's like, well, here's the rest of it. It kind of gets a little bit crazier from there. She's like, it's from the Holy Spirit. Joseph's like, okay. She's like, yeah, this is from God. She's like, I'm pregnant with like the Messiah, the one who's going to save our people. And Joseph's like, I'm going to need some time to process this, right? Can you imagine like that conversation? She comes to him, she's found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Now, we hold to this doctrine of the virgin birth, that Mary became pregnant by the Holy Spirit, that this child was a gift of God, and Joseph was the earthly father who stepped in to raise this child, to raise Jesus. This is what the scriptures affirm, and this is what we believe. But Joseph had a very important role in the life of Jesus. And verse 19 says this. Look at verse 19. It says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, in the original language, it says here, it says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. In the original language there in the Greek, that word is the word for righteous. That's why we're talking about being a righteous man. And it meant upright, virtuous, keeping the commands of God. Some translations might even say just. Maybe you're using a translation that says righteous or just. See, Joseph showed mercy to Mary. He showed mercy to Mary, and even though he was a good covenant-keeping, Torah-observant Jew, he showed mercy to Mary. Do you know, according to the law, that Joseph could have had Mary taken out in public and publicly judged and disgraced and even stoned? You can read about this in Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, chapter 22. It talks about how to handle these situations according to the law. Joseph could have, he could have exercised that right. And for a Jewish person to be called righteous in this time meant that they kept the law. They observed the law. The first five books of the Bible are called the Torah. So to be called righteous meant that you observed the law. You were faithful to the law. You did the things that God commanded a good Israelite, a good Jew to do. But how many of you know Joseph went beyond the law and he showed compassion? Joseph went beyond the law. See, Joseph was a man of compassion. He was a man of righteousness. Doesn't it just kind of remind you of Jesus just a little bit? Don't you just wonder if Joseph, as the earthly father of Jesus, if his spirit didn't just rub off on Jesus a little bit? Because we see Jesus all the time going past what the law requires and treating people with compassion, you know, touching unclean people, healing people, hanging around sinners and prostitutes and tax collectors, hanging around people he wasn't supposed to be around. You can see that compassionate spirit that was there. And see, Joseph understood God's heart. Joseph understood the heart of God, that God didn't just want him to obey his commandments. He didn't just want Joseph to serve him out of obligation. He understood that God was after his heart. See, Jesus said that in the Great Commandment, didn't he? He said, love the Lord your God with what? All of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. But it starts with your heart. And Joseph understood that. He went beyond the requirements of the law, and he was a man of compassion. He wasn't just going to disgrace Mary, but he was going to take care of the situation privately. Let me ask you this question today. Dads, men, women, everybody here, are you pursuing righteousness? Are you a person who's pursuing righteousness? We're busy pursuing a lot of things. Some of you pursuing an education. Some of you pursuing relationships. Some of you pursuing career opportunities. Some of you pursuing advancement. Some of you pursuing money, whatever. These things that we pursue in life. But is righteousness at the center of what we're pursuing in life? We just came off a series about the Beatitudes where Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Are we people who hunger and thirst for righteousness, to be right with God, for our hearts to be right with God? When's the last time you took spiritual inventory of your heart and said, God, I want to know that my heart is right with you? I'm not talking about being perfect. Jesus didn't call anybody to be perfect. God the Father understood that we have sinful natures, that we make mistakes, that we sin, that we mess up. This isn't about perfection, but this is about a longing to be right with God in our hearts. And Joseph was a man of righteousness. It was expressed through compassion. We need to look inside of our hearts today and say, God, make us people of righteousness. Here's the second thing. We've got to keep going. Number two, a godly man listens for the voice of God. He listens for the voice of God. Look at verse 20. It says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. We'll just stop there for a moment. An angel appeared to him in a dream and began to speak to him. You know, Joseph was a man who heard from God. He was a man who was listening. He was sensitive to the voice of God. In fact, Joseph heard from an angel in a dream four times. In Matthew chapter 2, Matthew records three more times that God spoke to Joseph through an angel and he obeyed. He was listening. Do you think just maybe God chose Joseph to be the earthly father of Jesus because he was somebody who was sensitive to God's voice? Do you think just maybe God saw something inside of this man of God whose ear was tuned to God's voice and said, this is the kind of man that I can entrust with my son? And doesn't it drive you crazy? For those of you who are parents, doesn't it drive you crazy when your kids don't listen to you? Come on, this is a safe place. We can just have confession together, okay? A little group therapy. Doesn't it just drive you crazy when your kids don't listen to you? Like sometimes my kids will be watching a TV show and it's like they're in a trance, like just locked in, right? And like I've called their names like three times, like I need them to come help me unload the groceries or to clean up or whatever. And like they just don't hear me. I think it's selective hearing is what it is. But they're not listening. And finally I like get in front of them like, are you listening to me, kid? I know none of you parents ever do that. You're more spiritual than me. And my kid's like, what, Dad? I didn't hear you. I'm like, you didn't hear me. I yelled your name like three times, right? I had to come over and like physically shake you to get your attention. Like, Dad, I'm watching this show. And it drives us crazy. But, you know, sometimes it's like we're like that with God. Like God's trying to speak to us. God wants to get a hold of our attention. God wants to show us some things. And he can't get our attention. He can't get a hold of us because we're so tuned into so many other things. Tuned into so many other things. Now, for some of you I know today, you're listening, you're saying, Pastor Jeremy, what does that mean? Like, how do you hear the voice of God? Does that mean an angel is going to speak to me in a dream, you know, tonight? Could that happen? Well, listen, he might. I don't know. God could use an angel. He could use a dream. But we have to cultivate this ability to hear the voice of God. I can give you some things, some basic things. It starts with prayer. It starts with prayer, learning to have this conversation with God. It starts with reading the Word of God. You want to hear the voice of God, open up your Bible, open up your Bible app and start hearing the voice of God. It can happen through messages, through sermons. It can happen through another believer who has a word for you, maybe even just an encouraging word for you, wisdom. And so we have to be sensitive. We have to be listening for God's voice. We have to be listening. Let me ask you this. What difference would it make in your life? How would it impact your life, your marriage, your career, raising kids, making decisions, if you could learn to hear the voice of God more clearly? Just think about that for a moment. How many of you have some big decisions you have to make? How many of you have a lot of responsibilities and pressure? How would it impact your life to cultivate this ability to hear the voice of God? And so two things we have to do. We have to tune out the noise. And that's just being still and being silent. We have to make some. That's hard for us, isn't it? We're busy New Yorkers. We have busy schedules. Our lives are full. We rush around and we step on top of anybody who gets in the way of us. We're busy people, but sometimes we just have to slow down and hear the voice of God. We've got to tune everything else out, and we've got to tune God's voice into our lives. So this is an ability we have to cultivate. Joseph was a man who was listening for the voice of God. God did great things through him. And so a godly man, dads, listen, your family needs you to hear from God. Listen, to raise your kids, to raise them and not kill them, you need to hear the voice of God. You need God speaking to you. Husbands, to lead your home and your wife and your family and to be the man that God wants you to be, we need to hear the voice of God. All of us need to develop that ability. Here's the third thing. Godly man passes on a godly heritage. Everybody say heritage. Just want to make sure you're awake. A godly man passes on a godly heritage. Let's look at the rest of verse 20. We'll just start over again. Verse 20 says, but after Joseph, after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David. You see that? That's important. It's a title. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She wasn't making this up. It's from the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. A godly man passes on a godly heritage. You see, this angel was asking Joseph to take on a really big assignment. He was asking him to take Mary as his wife and to raise this child as his own child. Kind of a big assignment. I need you to raise the Son of God. This is what he was asking him to do. And he addresses him. Look at this title he addresses him. Joseph, son of David. See, this is very important. This has to do with godly heritage, because it was prophesied that the Messiah would be a descendant of King David. In fact, the genealogy of Jesus is traced back through to David through Joseph. You can read about that in Matthew chapter 1. If you skip back earlier in the chapter, in verse 16 talks about that, how the genealogy of Jesus is traced back to David through Joseph. You see, Joseph is a legal descendant of King David Jesus is a legal descendant of King David because of his adopted father, Joseph, not because of Mary. It's through the lineage of Joseph. In fact, in the Christmas story, in Luke's version, in Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 2, verse 4, he says, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. All right, we read about this at Christmas time, how Joseph and Mary made this trip to Bethlehem. It's because that was where the house of David was based, in Bethlehem. This was his lineage. He was a son of David. So humanly speaking, this is very important, because Jesus' claim, his earthly claim to the throne of David, depended on the willingness of Joseph to accept Jesus as his legal heir, to accept this mission, to take him on as his son and raise him. Listen, what was conceived in Mary was of the Holy Spirit. But Joseph had to say, I will take this son and I will give him my name. I will raise him in my heritage, in my lineage. See, Joseph didn't just accept an assignment. What he did was he passed on a heritage and an identity to Jesus. Are you following me? This lineage was traced through his legal father, Joseph. He took Joseph's name. And let me say this to you, especially to parents. You know, we strive to give our kids the best, don't we? To give our kids the best education, to give our kids the best opportunities to succeed in life, to give our kids opportunities to play sports and little league and go on great vacations and all of these wonderful things. And all of those things are great. But here's what I want you to hear today. Dads, moms, parents, the greatest thing you can give your kid is a godly heritage. That is the greatest thing that you can give him. That is the gift that keeps on giving. When we stand before God one day, he's not going to say, did you raise these kids to be upwardly mobile? Did you get them into Ivy League schools? Did they get voted most likely to succeed? No. He's going to say, I entrusted these children to you. Did you pass on to them what I gave to you? It's the greatest thing we can give to our kids. Listen to me. If you don't have kids today, you can pass on a spiritual heritage to spiritual sons and daughters. Just get some people around you, maybe some young people. Just love on them. Just adopt them. Just mentor somebody. Everybody find somebody you can mentor and pour your life into them. You might say, well, Pastor Jeremy, you don't understand. I come from a broken family. I don't have a godly heritage. My family is messed up. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. You don't even understand, Pastor. Half my family's behind bars. My family's crazy. It's messed up. Listen to me. It's never too late to break that cycle and start all over again. You start fresh. You raise your kids in the knowledge of Jesus. You teach them the word of God. You get them to church. You say, well, Pastor Jeremy, my kids, they don't always want to come to church. Sometimes they give me a bad time in the morning. Listen to me. My kids fuss sometimes too. But when it comes to raising our kids, we follow the advice of the U.S. State Department. We do not negotiate with terrorists. And you shouldn't either. You say, shut up and get in the car. We're going to church. Because as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Kids are always going to fuss. They don't want to eat their Brussels sprouts either. You can't listen to them. And so you raise them with a godly heritage, man. You teach them to love Jesus. You pray over them, man. You just put God's heart inside of them. And if you come from a broken family, you just start all over again and you just pass on a new legacy and heritage to your kids. Come on. It's never too late to have a fresh start. Doesn't matter if you come from divorce or brokenness or addiction or whatever. You don't have to pass it off to your kids, man. You just start all over again. Start fresh. Here's the fourth thing. A godly man is obedient. Everybody say obedient. Obedient. Look at verses 22 through 25. It says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Look at the words of verse 24. Joseph was an obedient man. It just says, Joseph did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. He just did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. He didn't second guess it. He didn't try to come up with his own plan. He didn't say, well, God, that sounds nice, but I have some other ideas about how that could play out. No, he did what God spoke to him and told him to do. Now, how many of you, well, I won't even ask the guys, I'll just ask the ladies. How many of you ladies have a husband or a significant other who every now and then, you know, he buys something new and goes to put it together and doesn't use the instructions? Hello, you know, this happens to us guys, right? We do this every now and then because, you know, in our manlyhood, we don't need no instructions. We've got this all by ourselves, right? And we start putting something together. We throw the instructions to the side and we're almost done and we forgot like that one bolt or that one screw right in that like one key area and we get it all together and we're like, man, it doesn't work. Like, what's wrong with this thing? What's the matter with it? And like, ladies, you're fighting with him, right? Because you're like, you didn't follow the instructions. Gotta follow the instructions. Every now and then we get ourselves in trouble with that, right? We get to the end and then whatever it is we're trying to put together falls apart because we didn't follow the instructions. And God is trying to get through to us. He's trying to speak into our lives. He's trying to share the wisdom of the word. He's put some wise, loving people around us who want to speak into our lives. But sometimes we try to put life together without following the instructions. And when we do that, it gets screwed up, doesn't it? It gets screwed up. And so we need to say, Lord, help us to be people who are obedient. God, we don't want to just hear your voice. We want to actually listen to your voice. How many of you know it's one thing to know what the word of God says? It's another thing to actually do it. Are you with me this morning? Most of us don't sin and mess up and crash and burn for lack of knowing what the word of God says. It's just not doing it. And so, Holy Spirit, help us to be people who are obedient. Because, see, this has big-time results. In fact, because of what Joseph did, look at verse 23. It says, this fulfilled prophecy. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. This was spoken of in Isaiah generations, centuries before. Joseph literally fulfilled the word of God by being obedient. In fact, later on, In Matthew chapter 2, an angel speaks to the Lord and tells Joseph to get up and take his family and go to Egypt because King Herod was trying to kill baby Jesus. And he listened. And because he was obedient, he saved the life of the Son of God. So here's what I want to say to you. You never know dad. You never know man. You never know mom. You never know whoever you are today, how obeying the voice of God is going to affect somebody else's life, how it's going to make a future for your family, how it's going to make a future for your marriage, how it's going to make a future for your kid. You might very well be saving their life by your obedience to God's word. And so that's a character trait we have to develop. It's obedience. And here's the fifth thing. Godly man is a man of sacrifice. Everybody say sacrifice. Sacrifice. You see, we don't often think about this, but Joseph had to sacrifice a lot to fulfill God's will. You know, we look at this and we say, what an honor. What an amazing thing to be chosen to be the earthly father of Jesus, of the Son of God. Well, it was an amazing honor, but this was a huge sacrifice. How many of you know this was kind of way outside of what Joseph had planned for their happy little life together? When they were engaged, you know, when he was just picturing that little white picket fence and they're going to have a happy life and everything's going to be good. And all of a sudden, wait, I've got to raise the Son of God, God in the flesh and blood. Wow. A little bit outside of Joseph's plans for his life. What about the public humiliation when Mary starts showing and we haven't even, you know, we're just engaged. And how are people going to look at us? What are people going to think about us? I have to raise the son who's not actually mine. I have to provide for him. There was a lot of sacrifice involved in what God was asking him to do. But Joseph accepted God's will for his life. He didn't just accept God's will. He accepted God's change of plans for his life. How many of you know every now and then God's will for you represents a change of plans for your life? Sometimes God wants to shift things. He wants to change things. Sometimes what God wants for us is way outside of our scope. Be careful what you pray for. God might just say, I want you to pull up your family and move to New York and start a church in a movie theater. Crazy things can happen, folks. I'll talk to you about that after service. Come find me. Joseph accepts God's change of plans for his life. He marries a pregnant girl. He adopts Jesus as his own. He raises a son who wasn't really his. He takes on the responsibility of raising the Son of God. Do you know that Joseph, as a Jewish man, would have taken on the responsibility for teaching Jesus the Torah, God's word? That was a father's responsibility. That was a father's responsibility. Do you realize that? Think about that. A lot of times we minimize the earthly side of Jesus. Listen, the scripture tells us that Jesus was fully human and fully divine. How many of you know he had to be taught the word of God as a child? Do you know that was Joseph's job? Joseph was the one who was responsible for planting the word of God into the Son of God. Boy, you're starting to appreciate Joseph a little bit more now, aren't you? What a responsibility. Joseph was responsible to teach Jesus the family trade. Jesus would have apprenticed with his father and learned from his father. You know, later on in life, when Joseph was gone, when he was dead and gone, it would have been Jesus' responsibility to teach the family trade to the rest of the family. Jesus wasn't just a rabbi, a messiah, but he was also a carpenter. Imagine doing carpentry with Jesus. Can you imagine Joseph trying to teach the Son of God? Now, Jesus, measure twice, cut once. It's like, I'm the Son of God. I've got this. I spoke the world into creation. I've got this. That had to be amazing. But just imagine the conversations and the interaction inside of that carpenter shop when they were working on wood and building furniture and doing those things. You know, I really believe that Jesus' Bible college was Joseph's carpenter shop. In that carpenter shop, learning what it meant to be a man of God, learning the word of God, looking at his father, a good, earthly, diligent father, showing him what it meant to be a man of God. You see, Joseph's sacrifice paid off. Joseph gave of himself, but boy, what an impact. What a long-lasting impact his sacrifice made. And when you sacrifice your life for God's plan, when you serve others, when you give of yourself, when you love, when you take your life and you say, God, I give my life back to you for you to use me however you desire to use me. And usually that involves pouring your life into other people. Like 99% of the time, God is interested in using us to impact the lives of others, especially if you're a parent. Man, the thing he's entrusted you with, dad, is those kids. It's the greatest thing you could invest your life into. And you might not see it right now. Some days there's just some frustrating days. There's just some days when we're bossing kids around, we're driving kids around, we're changing diapers, we're feeding kids, we're cleaning the house, we're doing all these things, and it seems mundane and routine, and it doesn't feel like we're making that big of a difference. But listen, you're investing somewhere where you're going to get a really great return. It's going to pay off. It's going to pay off. And it doesn't matter where you are in this walk of life, whether you're a parent or not. When you love on other people, when you give of yourself, when you bless others, you are investing in something that is going to pay off. When you give of yourself, God blesses that. You see, it's likely that Joseph didn't get to see the results of his sacrifice. See, stay with me here, because sometimes we're investing and we're loving on people and it seems frustrating. We're wondering if we're going to get some results. Joseph most likely didn't get to see the results of his hard work, and that was the earthly ministry of Jesus. In fact, later on when we read in the Gospels, we see little elements and little examples where you see Mary and you see Jesus' brothers and sisters, but there's no mention of Joseph. Do you know why? It's most likely that Joseph was dead by that time. Something happened to Joseph. We don't know, but he's not mentioned. And because he's not mentioned, most scholars believe that Joseph was most likely passed away. He had died. So Joseph didn't get to see Jesus' miracles. Joseph wasn't there. He didn't get to see Jesus heal a blind man or raise a man from the dead or multiply the fishes and the loaves. He wasn't there to hear Jesus preach the Sermon on the Mount and see multitudes of people come to his legal son and hear him teach the crowds and say things that people had never heard before, like love your enemies, turn the other cheek, give and it shall be given unto you. He wasn't there to see Jesus' life touch so many people. He wasn't there, but he was with Jesus on the inside. Joseph was with Jesus on the inside. He was with him. He was with him. And I want to say to you, dads, when you pour your life into your kids, you are with them. You are with them wherever they go, whatever they do in life, whatever they go on to do, wherever they move on, whatever they pursue. When you put the heart of God inside of them, you put a piece of yourself inside of them, and you go with them. See, I'm thankful for Sunday school. I'm thankful for Bible college. I'm thankful for seminary. I'm thankful for hours upon hours logged in church. I was a preacher's kid. I'm telling you, I went to church so much. If you could rack up frequent flyer miles to heaven by going to church, I would be flying first class. They would be bringing me the best food and serving me little warm towelettes to pat my face on the way to heaven. If you could get there just by going to church. You can't, but I logged some hours in church. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for all of those things, but you know what made the biggest impact on my life? Was having a godly father who loved me, who showed me what it is to be a man of God. I was going on hospital visits with him, watching him hold people's hands when they were sick. It was my dad praying over me at the altar. It was my dad whooping my butt when I needed it, but weeping over me in tears and saying, son, I love you. I want you to do what's right. And I get messed up talking about it because he's with me on the inside. And dads, that's our greatest legacy. That's our greatest legacy. We got to wake up and realize one day nobody's going to care how good a golfer you were, what kind of car you drove, how far you made it in your career. Within a generation or two, ain't nobody going to remember that stuff. But you know what will live on in generations to come? The impact you make on your kids, your sons, and your daughters. That witness factor, how you're with them in spirit wherever they go. So that's our prayer today. God, help us to realize our greatest legacy in life. God, we're so busy chasing so many things. We're so busy trying to get ahead in life. We're so busy pursuing all of these things in life. But God, help us to realize where the deepest impact is really made. I want to pray for you this morning. I want the worship team to come back up here today as I close out, because I want to pray for all of you fathers, all of you dads. I want to pray for all of you moms as well. I want to pray for every person in this place, that we would realize that giving of ourselves, that developing character, that these are important things, that the legacy that we leave inside of other people is the greatest legacy that will live on. We want to pray today, God, help us to do that. Help us, Holy Spirit. And here's what I appreciate about Joseph. You know, sometimes we look at great heroes of the Bible, and we're just intimidated by them. I don't know about you. I read about some of these great men of the faith, these great spiritual giants, and I feel like I could never be like that. These prophets, these priests, these warriors, these kings, these great miracles, these great men of God. But you know what I love about Joseph? He was just a dude. He was just a carpenter. Just a carpenter, just a lowly, humble carpenter. Come on, how many of you know that if God can just work through a guy like Joseph, he can work through people like us? God looked at this man, Joseph, and he saw something inside of him, and he said, this is the kind of man that I can entrust with my son. And do you know, if you're a dad in this place, God has looked at you and if he's blessed you with children, you're just the kind of man that he can trust to raise those kids. I got something for everybody else here today too. Two things I want to encourage you. Whether you're a dad, a college student, single, married, a mom, whatever you are, two really important things I think we can all learn from the life of Joseph. First thing, the importance of cultivating character. The importance of cultivating character and the difference that that makes. Man, it really makes a lot more difference than some of the other things that we're chasing after, doesn't it? And then number two, what God can do through you to impact others is your greatest legacy. Listen to me, it doesn't matter if you're a dad today. We can all have a legacy of impacting other people. Some of you, I want to call forth in you today spiritual fatherhood, spiritual motherhood, that you would just begin to pour yourself into somebody else. Start with somebody. Start with somebody. Find some people you can pray for. Find some people you can spend some time with. Find some people that you can take the truths that God has put deep down in your heart. Maybe some of the mistakes that you've made in life, you can save them. You can pass on some wisdom. How many of you know wisdom is learning from other people's mistakes? You can say, don't make the mistakes I've made. Learn from me. Let me love on you and help you. I want to call forth the spirit of fatherhood in our men. Because man, if there was ever a time in this nation that we needed some godly men, some godly fathers, some godly husbands, some young single men of God, some young college students who are pursuing God, it's now. So why don't we all stand together? If you're standing by your dad or your husband or that guy in your life, that man, whoever he is, just put an arm around him. Come on, get around him. Some of you guys need to get around that dad and just lay hands on him and say, we're in this together. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to be there to stand with you because I know you don't have an easy job. And we're just going to bless you today. But all of us today, we're all in this together because we're all saying, God, make us people of character and make us people who leave a legacy by pouring our lives into somebody else. So, Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you entrust your church, you entrust your mission, you entrust what you're doing in this world to people like us. God, you looked at Joseph and you saw this humble man that you could entrust with your very son. God, we're blown away by that. And we want to be more like Joseph today. I pray for every father in this place that, God, you would begin to cultivate in them the character of God, that by your Holy Spirit, today would be a day that they can mark it down. They can write it down on this day in June. June 19th is a day that I committed myself to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to work in me to become the man of God that he wants me to be. We call it forth in you. We bless you today. We stand with you. We say, Holy Spirit, strengthen you and guide you. God, make us people who pursue righteousness. Make us people who hear your voice. Make us people who walk in obedience. Make us people who are willing to give of ourselves and sacrifice and pass on a godly heritage. Now, God, I pray for every man. I pray for every woman in this place that we would begin to develop this gift of spiritual parenthood, to give of ourselves, to impact others, that you would make us people of character. God, we thank you for it. We thank you that the impact is going to far outlast us. God, we won't live long enough to see the generations that will be impacted by our lives. God, right now, challenge us, encourage us, and fill us with your spirit to do it, to be everything you've called us to be, to do everything you've called us to do, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.